Our scripture reading is taken from page 93. I'll read the passage since it's a longer passage. It's Leviticus chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, and continues in the next chapter to verse 7. Hear the words of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your valuation in shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it, and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he erred and did not know it, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord." Verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about the pledge, or about the robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses." That is the word of the Lord, and may he bless it to our hearts today. The trespass offering. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the last time I said the titles of these offerings could be misleading because English is not precise. It's not that God didn't say it right, it's that we have no way of properly communicating that. So when you heard last week about the sin offering, you learned that we were not talking about the sin offering in the limited sense, like missing the mark. You know the picture they use? You're shooting at the target, but the arrow falls short. It means you didn't do what you should. That's the limited meaning of sin. But when the Bible used it in the sin offering, it was much wider. It's used in sin in a general way, like when God says we're all sinners. We've broken his law. We did what we shouldn't, and we didn't do what we should. So we say we use sin in the broader sense. Today, when we come to this final sacrifice, the trespass offering, I have to draw your attention to one more issue of language. In this case, the title trespass offering was not used in the sense of doing what is forbidden, in that narrower sense, but it is used in an even narrower sense than doing something you shouldn't. And you will see what I mean. So in the sin offering, we use that in the broader sense. In the trespass offering, we use it even in a narrower sense than the specific meaning. And we will look at that offering under three headings: the nature of the trespass offering, the method of the trespass offering, and the purpose of the trespass offering. Our goals are that you will guard yourself, that you don't personally sin against the Lord, but rather that you diligently protect and support the sacred things of God. Protect the sacred things of God. So let's talk now about the nature of the trespass offering. The nature of the trespass offering. The trespass offering was called a sham. And when we were in school, the way we remember it, things you're ashamed of, sounds very similar. You're ashamed of sins, and that's where, and especially things concerning God. And that was the trespass offering. It was a bloody offering. Animal blood had to be shed. The trespass offering was a non-sweet aroma offering, and it couldn't be sweet because it had to do with correcting wrongs. And those are not always pleasant things. The trespass offering was a compulsory offering. No one on any level of society was exempt. Even the priest had to make trespass offerings for themselves. The trespass offering was distinct, though, from the sin offerings, as the trespass offerings could only be brought by individuals. So there was no congregation. There were no leaders together bringing this offering, but only by individuals. The trespass offering was made of rams, rams that were without blemish. And to make sure that this was a male animal, God repeated this multiple times in our text, as you've seen. And if you go to chapter 7, you will see that again. So there wasn't going to be any uncertainty about what God wanted in the sacrifice. The trespass offering was the holiest of the offerings, and it was repeated that it was the holiest offerings for emphasis. God wanted to make sure you knew this is the most important one. And you will see that because this was against the holy name of God. That's the first point. But there are some lessons we must consider. First of all, ignorance of the law is no excuse. God pointed that out. Even if you don't remember the sin, when you become aware of it, you must confess it. All sins must be confessed. Even if others don't see the sin, you must confess them. Even if your husband or wife doesn't see that sin, you confess them. Even if your parents don't see, you confess the sins. Because God sees. Remember that picture in Zechariah chapter 5. There was the big scroll right over the houses of the people with the sins written on them of which they were guilty. God was saying, I know what happens in every part of your life. I know what happens in your house. I know what happens in your bedroom. I know what happens in every hotel room. Nothing is hidden from God. Second, since ignorance of the law is no excuse, you must know the law, study it. Don't claim ignorance. You must, in fact, daily examine your heart to see if there are sins that you have sinned against the holy things of God. And you will see what those holy things are. But you have to take time to know. You can't go to God and say, well, I didn't know that. If it's in the Bible, you better know it. You better know it. So the second point, that's the nature. Let's talk about how the sacrifice was done, the method of the trespass offering. Well, the offerer would come and place his hand on the head of the animal, and it would be killed. Why was that important? Because it shows a transferring of the guilt from the offerer to the animal that would die in his place. Then the fat and some parts like the kidneys, remember the kidneys was a seat of emotion, you love God with all your kidneys according to the Jews, then those parts were burned as an offering and the blood was sprinkled upon the altar saying that the sacrifice was pure and therefore you were purified by it. You can read more of the details of the sacrifice in chapter 7. Verses 1 through 7. And then the priest ate the meat and did so in the holy place. Since this sin was most personally directed against God and a misuse of God's name, the offering was wholly given to God, so his representative, the priest, could eat it. It was never eaten by the offerer like some of the other sacrifices to show fellowship with God and peace with thanksgiving to God or peace with your neighbor. Only the priest. Are there lessons here to learn? Three of them. First of all, worship God the way he says. You hear this over and over. That's one to always remember. Any other way is abominable to him. Now, you say, well, we don't bring animals, so what does it matter? We don't have to look for rams or any of that, those kinds of things. But don't bring other things that God says don't bring. Rather, come the way he says. Think of what you see if you go into many churches today. People run around with ribbons in the air, waving them as if that's something God wanted. Don't bring personal performances. That's why we don't have a musical interlude and we applaud the person singing or playing musical instrument. We don't have choirs because we're all the choir. We are the people of God and we are all able to enter into the holiest place and sing without worries. Don't bring puppet shows because we want to make it easy for people to understand. So we start doing puppet shows or skits as if we have to dramatize it instead of the living preaching of the Word of God. What should you bring? You should be coming and demanding that there be faithful preaching from the pulpit, from the whole Bible. You should come with praying and agreeing with the prayers that are offered by the minister. You should come and receive the sacraments regularly, not missing them, because that's where you are reminded in a visible way, in a personal way, the work of Jesus Christ. And sing in unison, thinking about the words that you are singing, even if sometimes the tunes are a little bit hard. Look over them before. Listen to the tunes before, so you can come and be more prepared to sing together. That's what God wants. That's why he said, you bring a ram, bring a ram. Don't forget, bring a ram. Without blemish. He didn't want them to forget that. And then the second lesson is the sprinkling of the blood. That animal's blood was sprinkled on the altar. It's a reminder of the method and the significance of baptism. Sprinkling symbolized that your sins were washed away and you were declared to be clean. Third, all sins require death, unless there's an acceptable substitute. All sins require death, even the smallest sin, unless there's an acceptable substitute, somebody better than you. This leads to the specific sins then for which the trespass offering was offered. And that's our third point. The purpose of the trespass offering. Now, when there were violations of the sacred things of God, the offerer was required to bring the trespass offering to God. And there are three categories that are described for us here. First of all, this included violation of oaths made to God. I'll give you some example. If a man made an oath to God and then said, nah, I made a mistake, he had to make this offering to God. Look at this Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Maybe we read together. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? In other words, you make a vow before God, you better be careful. Don't say it was an error. Don't say it was a mistake. If you do, you have to make the sacrifice. If you did, you had to make the sacrifice. Or if a man made a vow to God and didn't keep it, he would have to make a sacrifice, a trespass offering to God. Or if a man pledged on oath to give certain gifts to the priest and then changed his mind, he needed to make the sacrifice. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who were judged for the vow they made and failed to keep. They didn't have to make the vow, but they willingly did it and said, "This is the money we got for the sale of the property," and God judged them for it. In such a case, they would have had to make a, in the Old Testament, a trespass sacrifice. Or if a man ate the first fruits of his crops that belonged to God, he would have to bring this offering. If he took it for himself, because that was a sacred thing to God. A second area in which they would have to make the trespass offering, this would include violation of God's law whenever his name was invoked in dealing with their fellow men. So if you directly broke a vow you made to God, you brought this. But if you made a vow to each other and you broke it, because the vow was made to God, you also had to make the sacrifice. So, some examples of this. If a man stole something that was left with him by his neighbor to safekeeping, but then he swore an oath and said, I didn't steal it. I don't know what happened to it. Then that guilt for stealing that, because he took an oath to God and said, I didn't steal it, he would then be required to make a trespass offering to God, along with restitution, of course. Another example in the Old Testament was Jezebel, when she stole Naboth's vineyard. Remember how she did that to give it to her husband Ahab? She brought two scoundrels to accuse him of accusing him falsely of sin. Those men and Jezebel would have had to make that sacrifice then, because they took an oath to and lied about their fellow men. And then the third example of this, if a Jew found something that belonged to someone else, let's say they found something on the road or found an animal, and they know who it belonged to, but then they say, I don't know, I didn't find it, don't ask me about it, I didn't do anything, I swear to God I had nothing to do with it, even though you butchered the man's animal and you ate it. In such a case, because God's name was invoked, you had to make the trespass offering and make restitution, of course. We remember the case of Achan, who stole... the third case was Achan, who stole, then hid what God said they were not to keep. And Israel had to swear on oath that they would not take anything that they found of these people. And he saw the gold, he saw the clothing, and he thought, I'll dig in the sand under my tent and hide some of this and keep it for later use. He would have had to make this sacrifice as well, this trespass offering. So it was violation of our oaths directly to God, or oaths made to God, but dealing with our fellow humans, our brothers. And then the third group of people that would make this oath would be those who were ignorant of a sin which they committed, and an oath was involved, of course. When he became aware of it, he would have to bring a trespass offering. And in some ways, we see this in the life of Job, when Job said, look, I don't know what my children are doing, but just in case, God, I'm bringing sacrifices to you. I love my children. I know sometimes we sin and we forget it. And he brought trespass offerings to God. So when they brought the trespass offering, it was not offering by itself and say, well, I stole a lot of money from this man, but I'm just going to bring a ram and it'll all be gone. No, that's not how it worked. In fact, you had to bring what you stole plus 20% plus the sacrifice that you made to God. What about that 20%? Why 20%? It was as if God were saying, you stole something from me. You stole my honor. Now, you should have tithed, which is 10%. But what could God want from you? God said, you'll double tithe. It was like a double tithe as a punishment for what they did. So reparations or restitution was essential to the person, the tithe to God, plus the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. This offering had to be of significant value as well. You couldn't look for the cheapest ram you could find. It had to be a mature ram that was valuable. Why was that so important? Because the value of that ram was a picture of the work of Jesus Christ. Remember, the ram could not take away sins. The ram was a picture of the one who could take away sins, who was far more valuable. Look at your notes. Look at what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19 about the sacrifice of Jesus. Together, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Jesus. Not with corruptible things, not with things you can buy with money, silver or gold, but the precious blood of Jesus. And therefore, they had to have the most precious thing, a valuable ram. Now, when the offerer made atonement for his trespass, he knew that his sins were forgiven, not because the animal was killed, of course, but he was in his mind thinking of the Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world. The sacrifice of the Israelites pictured was the means of grace. Jesus, then, was the means of grace to the offerer. Remember, only the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sins. What lessons can we learn? First of all, every man deserves to die for his sins, and he deserves death, even more when he violates God's person and doesn't worship God and doesn't honor God like he should. This means all men must always make sure his sins are atoned for, because none of us can claim we have kept our vows, or membership vows, our marriage vows, our baptismal vows, both for ourselves and for our children. Or maybe the congregation can't say we have kept our vows when we promised those children when they were being baptized that we will help to hold them to account. We're all guilty of breaking our vows. So we must always come and confess our sins to God. Second, the sprinkling of the blood was the most important work of the priest, and it pictured the work of Jesus Christ, whose blood was sprinkled for the removal of your sins. In Isaiah, the Lord says, the time is coming when I will sprinkle the nations, prophesying of the spread of the gospel all around the world, that they too would be separated and marked as clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a promise. What a promise. And that's the blood we have today. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Third, David could see Jesus' suffering in Psalm 22 and in Isaiah 53, for example, his suffering that was there. Jesus was this lamb without blemish. Let me prove that to you from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Together, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know the word bruise there? I actually prefer the translation crush, because this is what goes back to Genesis chapter 3, when the Bible says that the son of the serpent, or the serpent, would crush the heel of the son of the woman, but the woman's son will crush his head. That's the same language that is being used there. So we're speaking now of the work of Jesus Christ. The trespass offering was not limited to rams. The rams were just a picture of that which is to come. And here's the real sum of it now. All who offer Christ's perfect trespass sacrifice of himself to the Father are now clean. And here's the beautiful thing. So we'll see it in our reading in a minute. It is done one time for all time. Imagine back then, imagine if you were living back then, look at your own life and think how many animals you would have to be bringing. I mean, I would be working and killing animals all day for my sins and for your sins. But Jesus, when he came, one time for all time. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, together. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Then Hebrews 9:26, together. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's when we say, praise God. Amen. This is the good news. One time for all times, our sins are gone. Let's conclude. The trespass offering was made when a Jew violated any of the sacred things of God. Like when he offered polluted worship to God, or when he misused God's name by making a rash vow, or making a vow and not keeping it. The animal sacrifice was given to God and to his servants. And when the offerer properly made these sacrifices, God was pleased with him, and their broken relationship was healed, was restored. That's the summary of what we've looked at today. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, some final thoughts for us to reflect on. Come to worship with hearts ready to worship. Sing psalms. Pray, keeping keen attention to the words that we say. Listen attentively to the preaching of the Word of God. Receive the sacraments. That's what God wants from us. You don't have to bring animals, but come with a heart ready to praise God. Come with lips ready to sing. Come with hearts ready to receive what he offers. And then second, keep your promise to your brothers. Your brothers here in Canada, the little children, which you've testified to in the service when they were baptized, keep your promise to them. But keep also your promise to your brothers around the world. When you read the bulletin and you see what's happening to some of the brothers and sisters around the world, remind yourself to pray for them. Remind yourself to support them, to encourage them, to write those letters that we are writing now again to them so that their hearts will be encouraged. Really encouraged. And then claim the promise that God made for your children. And children, you claim that promise that God made to you at your baptism. And desire to stand up and say, now I know God promised me that, and now I believe, and I want the world to know. I'll stand and testify to the world that I belong to Jesus Christ. That's keeping the vow that you and your parents have made. And then third, search out your heart to see if you have failed, and more likely, how you have failed. If you haven't cherished and worked to preserve the sacred things of God and to honor the name of God, ask God to forgive you. And I've thought a lot about this recently, how we have not worshiped God as we should. God wants our worship. He delights in our worship. And we should be ready to worship Him. He's the Lamb of God who gave Himself for your sins. You should be pleased to worship. Now, you don't have to make bloody trespass offerings today, because Jesus is your trespass offering. All you have to do is to come, and as the song says, I lay my sins on Jesus. I put my hands, as it were, on Him, and my sins are put to His account. Hold on to Jesus and confess your sins, and all your sins will be gone. And finally, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will have to die for your own sins. I hope that is not what you want, but that you want that your sins to be placed on Jesus, as our sins are, all of our sins. If you do that, then you will go free, and then you can live obediently before the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your word again. You've reminded us of this wonderful trespass offering that could right the wrongs we have committed. And now we don't have the picture as the Jews did. We have the reality. We have Jesus Christ, and we lay our sins upon Him. Lord, especially when we have violated your law by dishonoring your name, by not remembering the vows we have made or ignoring them. And sometimes, Father, we are called to make vows, and we didn't want to because of our own weaknesses. Remind us that when we do so, we bring honor to your name, when we call you to witness. So, Lord, may we keep your name holy. We live in a time when your name is flaunted and misused like probably no other time in history. It's just used as a byword, as an expression for people who are unable to speak properly. But we want to honor you today. We want to please you. Help us that our lives will then reflect an understanding of your holy nature and honor you with our lips. When we fail, forgive us, because Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. He paid the debt He did not owe. We owe the debt we could not pay. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.